Let's open our Bibles to Haggai chapter 1. Our text will come from these first seven verses, but let's begin reading in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's go to our Lord. Our God, Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to again gather together as a people. Lord, we pray you bless us with your presence this evening. Lord, take these things written in thy scriptures and, Lord, reveal them to us. Make them plain to us. And, Lord, cause us to go from this place rejoicing in our Savior, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your many mercies. We confess, Lord, forgive us of our ungratefulness. Lord, forgive us when we murmur and complain. Lord, cause us to rest in thee, knowing that thou doest all things well. Lord, we pray for our young ones, Lord, these many little ones you've blessed us with. We pray your hand of care and protection upon them. Lord, above all things, we pray you'd be merciful to them, reveal Christ to them. For those of our number in a time of trouble and difficulty and sickness, Lord, comfort and strengthen your people. And again, cause us to rest in thy mercies, in thy grace. Again, we pray that you bless us with your presence here tonight. Set aside the thoughts and cares of this world. Let us see Christ. For in his name we pray and give thee thanks.
Precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a Lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You gave us hope when our hearts had hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger. Oh, our hearts always hunger for Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving the lost. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before. we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hungered for. Oh, our hearts always hungered for.
Thank you, boys. Thank you, Sean, preaching in Danville a few weeks ago. And Lindsay Campbell was, we followed him over to the church, and we got there a little earlier than usual. And he said, that's a relief to me. He said, I always like to see the person preaching get here early. And I said, Lindsay, I always like to see the first person I want to see is the song leader when I walk in. So when we pulled in the parking lot, Sean was waiting, and that's a huge relief. Open your Bibles back to Haggai chapter 1. Now for my class, this will be a little bit of a review so you can quiz your parents on the way home this evening. Haggai chapter 1, and let's start with verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying. Now here in this chapter, we have a message by the prophet Haggai. And look at verse 2. We see the source of this message. Look at verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. That's what we declare. When we stand to declare God's word, we simply declare what God has already declared. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts are the armies above and the armies below. He to whom all reverence, and praise, and honor, and obedience is due. And read on in the verse. It says, The people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now this people had been brought out of the captivity of Babylon, a people that had been blessed with many benefits. And here we read that the temple, it lay in ruins. God's temple lay in ruins. And the people said, the time's not come. The time's not come to rebuild the Lord's house. It's not time for the Lord's temple, but they had plenty of time for their own houses. Look at verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you? Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lies in waste. He said, you have time for leisure. You have time to build your own houses. And not just little houses. Not just humble homes. He said, you build yourselves sealed houses. And that word means wainscoting. Fancy homes. Decorated homes. The temple, again, the temple lay in ruins. Yet you have time for your own home. Your own things. And that word sealed houses, it also means to hide by covering. To hide by covering. This covering is the work of their hands, though. He said, you've got time to build your own house. You've got time. You're in a sealed house. A house, you're hiding in something made by your own hands. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did all the way back in the garden? Isn't that what they tried to do after the fall? We read that their eyes were open, they knew their nakedness, and they sewed those fig leaf aprons together. And we read that they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. All they thought they hid. There's no hiding from Almighty God. But listen, if left to ourselves, isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we try to do? To hide behind our works, to hide behind our self-righteousness, our deeds. No interest in Christ, no interest in His sin-atoning blood. And then in Haggai 1 verse 5, we read this, "Now thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And then again, look at verse 7. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." I can remember when the boys were younger, there were times Abby and I would say something to them, and then we'd say it a second time. I'm sure everybody in the room here has done that. Sometimes we repeat ourselves. And, sometimes we do that just in case they didn't hear what we said the first time. But listen, often it's to emphasize the importance of what's being said. Consider your way. Thus saith, and listen who's speaking here. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So two times here in these three verses, we read that. Consider your ways. And I pray the Lord would enable us to do that this evening. To truly consider our ways. To set our hearts upon our ways. Now there are several ways referred to in God's Word. And I want to spend just a little time here this evening looking at four ways. Four ways mentioned in the Scriptures. That's the title of the message. Consider your ways. Four things here. First, consider the way of evil men. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. Proverbs 4, verse 14. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men." Now back in Genesis 6, 11, I won't have you turn there, but we read that the earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted His way. Man had corrupted his way upon the earth. The way of evil men. Remember David. Remember what Nathan had said to David. Nathan told David that story. You know, we think about this way of evil men, and we probably have a lot of different people that come into our mind. But we probably should consider one person in this matter. I think it was Dale used to say, when you point at somebody, there's three pointing right back at you. But think about this. Nathan told David that story. He said there was a poor man and a rich man. And he said the rich man had everything. And the poor man had one little ewe lamb. And he treated it like it was his child. It ate at his table. It slept in his bed. And he said there was a visitor come to town. And that rich man, rather than taking from his own, he went and took that one man's little lamb and he slew it. And boy, when David heard that, he was furious, wasn't he? And he said this. He said, "The man that hath done this shall surely die." Remember what Nathan said to him? David, listen, David who took another man's wife. David who, when he was going to be found out about that, had her husband put out in the hottest part of the battle and told the rest of the troops to back off and had him slain. David, whom we read was a man, despite all that, we read he was a man after God's own heart. He said to David, David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Enter not in to the path of evil men. The way of evil men. The corrupt way. It's a way that leads to eternal death. The way of Adam. The way of sin. The way of self. I can't remember if it was Henry or Barnard that used to talk about the bars and the pool houses or pool rooms and the movie houses. And listen, not everything that's evil has a flashing sign out front, does it? The path of evil men. It's the broad way. It's what it's referred to in the scriptures, the easy way. It's the way everyone else is going. That's what everybody else is doing, right? Everybody else, how many times have we heard that or said that as kids? That's what everybody else is doing. Everybody else has one. Well, if it's the way everyone else is going, we might want to be alarmed about that a little bit. Over in Matthew 7, verse 13, we read, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And by nature, it's the way we all desire. This wicked heart, the way of Adam, the way of David, the way of sin and self, the way of evil men. Do you still have Proverbs 4? Look what the scripture says about the way of evil men. There's a warning here. Verse 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Oh, if the Lord's pleased to show us that's the evil way. Look at that. Avoid it, turn from it, pass away from it. Consider Adam and Eve back there in the garden. What happened? That fruit, huh? She saw it. She took it and she ate it. David and Bathsheba, David, he saw that woman out there bathing. And he inquired after her. He didn't just go back in the house, he inquired after her. He sent a messenger to bring him back to him. And then he lay with her. And then Achan, back there when Jericho was destroyed, God told the people, he said, everything in that city is accursed. Leave it. Don't take anything. Only Rahab the harlot and her family were to come out of that place. And a man named Achan, he said, I saw that Babylonish garment, and I saw the gold, I saw all these things. And then what happened? I coveted it. I desired it. I had to have it. And that wasn't enough. Then he took it. And he hid it in his tent. The way of wicked men. Avoid it. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Enter not into it. Well, second, there's a way that seemeth right. A way that seems right. Turn to Proverbs 16. Look at verse 25. 16, verse 25. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What's a way that seemeth right? Consider this, attempting to earn salvation by the keeping of the law. You know, apparently that's a way that seems right, because there are a lot of people that have put their trust, have put their hope in what they do for God. But we read this, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Righteousness by the deeds of the law. That seems right to man, but it's contrary to Scripture. Look beginning with verse 10 of Romans 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways. The way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What do the Scriptures say to those who would be justified by the deeds of the law? They're all gone out of the way. Destruction and misery is in their path. The way of peace they've not known. And by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. A way that seemeth right. The works of man's hands. That seems right. Huh? To the natural man. Woe unto them. Over in Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. We know this about Cain. We know he killed his brother Abel. Abel who brought a blood sacrifice. His brother Abel's sacrifice was received of the Lord. It pointed, our Redeemer, it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Cain's sacrifice, he brought the fruit of the ground. He brought the works of his hands. You know, no doubt that seemed right to him. That seemed, he got out there in the garden and he worked and he tilled the soil and he planted seed and he tilled again and he watered. Nothing easy about gardening. Probably seemed right. Look what I have done. The Lord was not pleased with his sacrifice. And it's no different in our day. Men doing, they may not be planting a garden, but they're doing the exact same things. They're building buildings for God. They're feeding the hungry. They're doing this and they're doing that. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with feeding the hungry. But if I think me feeding the hungry adds 1 ounce of righteousness to me, it's wrong. It's wrong. By the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. Turn over to Psalm chapter 50. Look beginning with verse 7 of Psalm 50. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee. I'll not justify thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I'll take no bullocks out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I'd not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver thee that thou shalt glorify me. The works of our hands. How utterly foolish. How utterly foolish. What could a sinful man have to offer a holy God, a sovereign God who rules and reigns over all things? We read one thing here that we can offer unto God, and that's to say, thank you. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what He has done. Thanksgiving for the gift. We give thanks for a gift. We don't earn. If we earned a gift, it wouldn't be a gift. A gift's a gift. It's offered for no other reason other than the person giving it determined to give someone a gift. The gift of salvation. Peter rebuked Simon over there in Acts 8. He said, "Thy money perish with thee. Thou thoughtest the gift of God could be purchased." We have nothing to offer unto God but praise and thanksgiving for what He has done for us. There's a way that seems right unto man. The end thereof is death. Third point. Consider your ways. Consider the way which God leads His people. Psalm 37, verse 23, we read the steps of a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. That word good is added by the translators, the steps of a man. There's none good but God. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. In Psalm 21 or 23, we read of the Lord our shepherd, the shepherd that leads His sheep, that corrects His sheep, that provides for His sheep and protects His sheep, the shepherd that lays down His life for His sheep. He does all these things. He leads us in the way. He leads us in His way. The way He's determined. You know, He brought the children of Israel out of bondage and out of slavery to the promised land. And yet in Numbers 21:4 we read this, that the children of Israel were much discouraged because of the way. We should find a little bit of comfort in that. Don't we do the same in our day? Don't we quickly become discouraged because of the way? Despite his provision, he provided manna. They just walk out there in the backyard and pick up their food for the day. He provided quail. When they grew tired of the manna, He provided quail. He gave them water out in the middle of the desert from a rock. He delivered them from captivity. Yet, they became discouraged because of the way. They murmured and they complained. Yet we read this, we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. The way that God chooses for His people, despite our murmuring and complaining, it doesn't change the fact that that's the way He's chosen for us. And He delivers us. He delivers His people. Through trials and tribulation and hardship, He delivers His people. Turn to Nahum 3. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. I didn't intentionally choose scriptures that were hard to find this evening. Nahum 1, beginning with verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned up at his presence, yea, the world, and all they that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Yet we read, the Lord is good. Stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Whatsoever way he sends his people. Whatsoever way he's pleased to lead us. It's just. It's right. And it's for our good. And it's for his glory. In Romans 11:33, we read, O the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Moses prayed there in Exodus 33. He said, show me now thy way. Make my path plain. Show me now thy way. Well, fourth, this final point, consider Christ, who is the way. That's what the scriptures declare, that Christ is the way. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we? That's a good question, isn't it? How can we know the way? Look at verse 6. Our Lord says, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. The way. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the way to God. Look, turn over to Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah real quick. Isaiah 35. Look beginning at verse 8. Isaiah knew about this way. He knew the way. He said this in verse 8. And highway shall be there. That's just one way, isn't it? One way. A highway. And the way shall be called the way of holiness. It's a way that requires holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. That's a particular people, isn't it? That's a peculiar people. His people. The wayfaring man, though fool, shall not err therein. And no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It's a safe way. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sighing and sorrow shall flee away. It's a joyous way. That's what the scriptures declare. And listen, he doesn't just show us the way by example. He's not just a prophet to teach us in the way. Doesn't just guide us in the way. But he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is the way. The way from God to men. All blessings come from the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way from man to God. Our righteousness, our high priest, our sin offering. By his holy life, he honored the law of God. By his death, he enabled God to be both just and justify those who believe. Consider your way. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way. Turn to Hebrews 3. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture. Hebrews 3. Verse 1 of Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The apostle and high priest. Sent of God to preach the gospel to his people. The gospel of redemption. Sent to secure salvation for his people. And listen, by his obedience and death, as our high priest, he entered into the holy place, bearing our sins, standing in the presence of God, and intercedes on the behalf of his people. Consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he be pleased to cause us to forsake our ways. That's the way we probably most often desire. We want it our way. Isaiah 55:7 says this: let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, that he might teach us the way, that he might teach us his way, the way of salvation. We read there earlier to open the service. That was David's prayer. That's what David said. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. That's what we have to have in it. He has to teach us the way, and he has to lead us in a plain path. Haggai 1:5, thus saith the Lord, consider your way. All right. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray you would bless it to our understanding. Lord, truly cause us to consider our way. Lord, keep us from the way of evil men. Lord, keep us from the way that seems right to this natural mind, to this flesh. Lord, cause us to rejoice in the way that you've led us, and Lord, above all, Lord, reveal thy way to us. Reveal unto us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way revealed in thy word. Bless us this night, Lord. Pray you give us safe travel, and Lord, that you would return us here next Lord's Day to again hear thy word preached. And we thank you for your many blessings, but above all, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen. Dismissed.